I'll invite you to stand with us and let's sing together. And this first song talks about bringing a sacrifice to God. And I thought of the beginning of Genesis and the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice. And Abel's was pleasing to the Lord, but Cain's wasn't. And there are several reasons to that. Abel brought the first of his animals. Cain did not. But in Hebrews, it says that Abel's was acceptable because he trusted God. And so let's think that as we bring a sacrifice to God today, that we do it with trust, with confidence, and with faith in Him. With this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice.
I lay me down, I'm not my own. passions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. To cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness.
God, we thank you that you're so faithful. When circumstances change, your love, your commitment, and your care for us never changes. You're steadfast through the ages. And we can hold on to that promise going forward that, God, we don't know what the future holds in our state, in our world, in our country, but we know what you have for us, God. And it's just endless grace after grace. And I pray right now, each one of us, wherever we are, we'd just be, we'd be present. We wouldn't be worried about what's coming later, but we'd encounter you right now, because right now, you're here. Right now, we have everything we need. We lack nothing. Right now, the kingdom of God is at hand. Right now, you are drawing near to us. And God, we want to respond by reaching out to draw near to you. Thank you for this day where we're able to gather together once again and continue to be with each member of our congregation, and God, each brother and sister in Christ in our city today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my wanting, and into thy wealth, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm, out of life's storms, and into thy calm, out of distress, into jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. I come, Jesus, I come into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above, upward forever on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee. Jesus, I come to thee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Jesus, we let go of control of our lives. We place all the burdens, all the challenges, every part of our lives we place in your hands. We stop trying to handle it in our own strength and our own wisdom. Give us the grace to let go, God, to surrender, to lay everything in our lives down at your feet. And God, as we do, help us to experience your rest, that we enter the easy yoke that is life in your kingdom. We have so much to celebrate today, God, so many reasons to be glad and to rejoice. Bless this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
They have no idea who sits before them.
To be a child again, yes?
I think we are the lucky ones. They have to go home with their parents tonight. We get to stay with him and his mother.
Where will that be?
Who knows? With him, I have learned to stop worrying about those things.
I haven't. It's cold in this region.
You think he would let you freeze?
My brother has many worries. I keep reminding him of when our Abba taught us how to fish. We just sat there and watched until we became fishermen.
Mm. We will watch him. And watch and watch and watch. Forever, I think.
In 1875, a British poet named William Ernest Henley published a short poem titled Invictus. He wrote it while in the hospital with tuberculosis. Henley had already lost one leg because of the disease and was in danger of having his other leg amputated as well. The poem ends, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the captain of my fate. I am the master of my soul." This poem is a prideful cry of defiance and self-reliance in the face of difficulty and pain. It shouts, "I will be in charge, and there will be no surrender. Nothing I face in life, no matter how horrible or humiliating, will cause me to humble myself and give up control." Now, all of us have gone through a trial lately, haven't we? We may not have lost any limbs, but we have been cut off from one another. As far as I know, we are all still physically healthy, but I'm sure this quarantine has challenged our mental and emotional health. And what if, in the midst of this challenging time, and instead of giving into our pride, instead of becoming more self-reliant, we turned William Ernest Henley's poem around and cried out to God, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. You, God, are the captain of my fate. You, O God, are the master of my soul." In other words, it doesn't matter how hard things get. It doesn't matter how painful things might become, how difficult life gets, Jesus, you are in charge, and I surrender to your will. I surrender to your governance of the universe, your governance of my life. Have you been able to live recently with the attitude, God, not my will, but your will be done? Would you like to know how to loosen your grip and let God take control of your happiness, your success, your day today? Well, let's express that to Him now. Jesus, we cry out to you, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And today is not about getting my way. Today is not about having my will. We want to surrender that and lay it down. And say that you are the captain of our fate. You are the master of my soul. You are the one in charge, and whatever you want, God, in my life, wherever you lead, whatever circumstances you choose to allow me to face, we just say yes, Lord. Because we know that your will is far better than our own. Your will is good. Your will is loving. Truly, your will is safe, God. And I pray this morning you would lead us into that place where we more deeply trust in your will and not our own. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We slowly continue today in John chapter 3. We have more than one verse this week. We have a few, but it's continues to be a powerful book and a powerful chapter. And we're going to look this morning at John chapter 3, verses 23 to 27. We read about John the Baptist. It says, Now John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, speaking of Jesus, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. Well, to this John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. And we're going to stop there. As we look at this passage, it's interesting that Jesus' problem was not getting the crowds to come listen to him. It was actually getting away from the crowds. Jesus never worried about getting an audience. People automatically gravitated toward him, which according to Matthew 27 was actually the reason Jesus was killed. The religious leaders were envious of his popularity and his power. They saw Jesus as being such an attractive person and such an incredible, magnetic speaker that people just wanted to be near him. So much so that Jesus really had to work to get away from the crowds. Imagine living such an attractive, magnetic life that people were automatically drawn to you and wanted to hear what you have to say. Well, John's disciples recognize this. They see the crowds going to Jesus and they become jealous. they become envious of Jesus' success, which I know we can't relate to today, can we? Envy, jealousy. Of course we can. We struggle with these things all the time. You look at the nice house she has. Did you hear where they're going on vacation? We even do ministry out of selfish motives and become envious because everyone's going to their church. John knew his followers had a wrong definition of success. They thought success was getting the crowds. John knew otherwise. Did you know that your definition of success is one of the most important things about you? And each one of us needs to think about what we take as a mark of success in our lives. In my mind, what defines success? If I was really honest, what do I think equals a successful life? If you had to give an answer, what is success to you? What would you say, honestly? It's something for each of us to think about. And as we think about this, we might realize this morning that like John's disciples, we need to redefine success. And if so, if that's us, I want to give three ways to do this from our passage. First, we redefine success by refusing to compare yourselves to others. Redefine success by refusing to compare yourself to others. We likely don't realize how often we do this because we just do it so much. And this is a lethal practice. I don't know of too many things more harmful than the practice of comparing yourself to other people. Because either we put others down to feel better about ourselves, or more likely, we end up putting ourselves down when we compare ourselves to others. If you really want to make yourself feel depressed or fall into deeper depression, comparing yourself to other people in unfavorable ways will do it almost every time. Some time ago, there was a study that asked married or dating men to rate their satisfaction with their wives or girlfriends. Then they showed them pictures of beautiful airbrushed women and asked the men again to rank their satisfaction with their wives or girlfriends. And when they did this, their level of satisfaction went down significantly. And unfortunately, social media breeds this kind of comparison with others. You know, on social media, you get a carefully crafted snapshot of a tiny aspect of someone's life that they want you to see. When we compare ourselves to others, reality is distorted. Those pictures of models aren't real. The social media posts never give the whole picture. Not everyone was going over to Jesus. Verse 23 says people were still constantly coming to John. But see, when we play this game of comparing ourselves to others, reality is distorted. We get a warped picture of what's really going on. And we do not find success by comparing ourselves to other people. And as soon as we find ourselves going down that road, of trying to get our significance needs met by comparing ourselves to others, we need to stop and we need to redirect our focus to the things of God and to how much He has given us. We need to stop, redirect our focus to the things of God and how much He has given us. Which leads to my next point, which is we redefine success through regular gratitude. Regular gratitude. How does John respond to his disciples? He says, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. John turns not to what he doesn't have, but to what he has and to what heaven has given him in life. That word given, the verb, is another key word in John's gospel. It's used 76 times. John wants us to know that God loves to give. God loves to give gifts. We have an overwhelmingly generous God who has given each one of us more than we could ever list. One time I sat down and I tried to make a list of all the things that God has given me. And I have this book of things that I started to list, and I quickly realized this list is never going to end. I'm going to read you some of the things I wrote. New life, grass, stars, a sun that rises, animals, music, piano, guitar, satisfaction, fulfillment, purpose, meaning, worship, sharks, and I'll stop there. Sharks are awesome. They show in a tiny way how powerful our God truly is and how creative He is. What has heaven given you? And is that where your mind has been this morning? My guess is that each one of us here, before we eat, we pray. We pray before our meals. But each time you pray, are you really thankful for your food? I've found sometimes it helps to take a few bites first, and then you can be more thankful. Sometimes it might be a good exercise, instead of saying a prayer before we eat, to just spend 20 seconds taking in the smell and being truly thankful to God for the good gifts He has given. Being thankful for the things God has given me will change my definition of success. And it will change the way I think about what a successful life looks like. Finally, we redefine success by releasing control. We release control. When John says a man can receive only what is given him from heaven, what he's saying is, look, if God wants the crowds going to Jesus, then that must be what's best. And God, I want that too. He's saying, if that's what God wants, if the crowds going somewhere else is what really pleases God, then God's will be done. That must be what's really good. And I'm on board. And John's disciples had a wrong perspective. It's called the grass is greener on the other side. Can you relate? Surely we have all thought, oh, if only I could find a different job. Oh, if only I could find my soulmate. Oh, if only I could change this circumstance in my life. But you know the problem with the grass is greener on the other side? The problem with that perspective is it puts me in charge of my life and my needs. And we need to step out of that mindset and say, if this is what God has allowed to be, then God's will be done. Certainly, many times there are things we can control. And in those instances, we need to follow the leading of God and make changes. You know, John the Baptist spoke out against Herod. Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. And so there are times and there are things that we can control, but so much of life we can't. And you know, John could have played this game too, of the grass is greener on the other side. He could have looked back in the Word of God and seen, you know, many of the great God's great people who had wonderful lives, who didn't have to eat bugs in the wilderness. You know, and I don't know if John saw clearly the end that was coming for him, but he could have looked back and say, God, why do I have to be killed for standing up for you? But John didn't. John said, God is the captain of my fate. God is the master of my soul. God is good, and God is in charge. And whatever God chooses to allow to happen in my life, I just accept and I embrace. I embrace His will. And as we're going to see next week, in the verses to come, the most joy comes when we turn everything over to Jesus. The most peace comes when we just lay everything down at His feet. And we can be honest with Him and say, Jesus, I'd love it if you'd change this circumstance. But, you know, there comes a point where we say, but Jesus, not my will, but Your will be done. What do you need to release control of today? What do you need to let go of so you can experience the joy that comes from turning everything over to Jesus? After a long series of trials that she was powerless to change, God told missionary Amy Carmichael to change the D in disappointment to an H, which would make it His appointment. Do we need to change the D in certain disappointments in our lives to an H? And find the good that God is working in those circumstances in our lives. Well, Amy Carmichael did that, and she started to live with a simple prayer, Yes, Lord. Whatever she faced in life, she found herself saying, Yes, Lord. I accept this, and I turn my will over to You. Yes, Lord, this is good, and I will find the good in this circumstance. I've tried to recently pray that simple prayer throughout my day. And whatever is happening, I just say to Jesus, Yes, Lord. You're my shepherd. You're leading the way. And whatever You choose to lead me into, I accept. When I forget to do this, that's when I lose my joy. But when I remember, the joy comes flooding back in. And when I put all of this together, when I refuse to compare myself with others, when I practice regular gratitude, and when I release control, it will lead to true success in life, which is trusting God. Trusting God. I will find that true success is not having all the crowds. I will find that true success is not having nicer or better things than the people around me. I will find that true success is not about being significant in the eyes of the world. Because I'm not going to stand in front of the world at the end of my life to be judged. I'm going to stand before God. And then I will see that true success is loving and trusting God. True success is having learned in my life on this earth to trust God no matter what. Come what may, God, I'm going to trust you. Come what may, God, I'm going to love you. Come what may, God, I'm just going to let you have control. And I'm going to move forward in confidence in you. You know, one day very soon we will see how different God's judgment is from that of the world. John was very much a failure in the eyes of the world. But Jesus said no one among those born of women was greater than John the Baptist. Because whatever happened, whatever was going on with the crowds, whatever happened in John's life, whether it was having to live in the wilderness or having his head chopped off, John trusted God. We've done this before, but as we close, I'd like to lead us in a practice of letting go of control. And I'll invite you to sit up in your chair and hold your hands open before you. And for a moment, just be aware of the worries and concerns that you have, whatever those might be. What is causing you anxiety? What's stressful in your life right now? And then hold your hands out in front of you as a way of saying that you are holding these worries before God and you want to see them in light of Him and His kingdom. God, I hold this worry before you and I want to see it with your perspective. And now, if you can, hold your hands up as a way of saying, God, I release this concern into your care. You're strong enough. You are wise enough. And I let this go. I place it in your care, God. And finally, hold your hands back down in your lap as a way of resting in God and saying, God, I trust you in this situation. I say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. And I say right now, it is well with my soul. God, it's one thing to sing the song, but how different our lives would be if we went through each part, each hour, each minute, with the attitude deep inside saying, it is well with my soul. Help us to find that place of being totally satisfied in you. Help us to do whatever it takes to get there, God. If we need to change some plans today so that we could seek you more, help us to do so. But I pray for each one of us that we would just receive the living water that you're pouring out upon us right now. And it wouldn't just wash over us, but it would seep in deep into our souls, God, cleansing us, refreshing us. And God, in the deepest parts of our heart, mind, and soul, satisfying us. And we close and just say, it is well with my soul because of Jesus. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
Jesus, help us to go forward with a soul that is well, that is satisfied in you. Surely that is what we need in our homes. Surely that is what is needed most in our neighborhoods and in our cities, God. People who are truly satisfied in you and who live with a satisfied soul. Amen.